Praise the Lord. We had a wonderful time and a great trip. And again, do apologize for not somehow bringing some of that warm weather back with us. It was pretty much in the mid-70s most of the time, hit 84 a couple of days. And we enjoyed that. We were in Naples, Florida. How many of you have been to Naples, Florida? Anybody? Okay, a couple folks have, and that's the first time we'd ever been there. And it was a lot of retired people. I was telling somebody, I believe that other than at church, we might have seen four children the whole time. I mean, it's just, and we walked all over the community, all over the area. Walked to, there was a state park that had a beach there, had a beach area. It was about a mile long, and it was pretty much deserted. And so we were thinking about what it might be like to be on a deserted island together. We thought that'd be kind of neat for a while. But then we got talking about what we would eat, and she mentioned coconuts, and that didn't sound good to me. So anyway, we had a great time, and probably the first time in a long time I've been gone and didn't preach, not one time. So I'm kind of anxious to preach, and we had a great time just really existing. And Mrs. Rogers needed that. Appreciate your prayers, and appreciate so many people helping out. Of course, Brother Hawkins taking this class, and Brother Don leading the singing. And it amazes me how many people just are so willing to help out and be a blessing when people go away. And it happens all the time. We have folks out of town today, and people step in. And praise the Lord for that. That's good. That's the way it should be. And so we're excited and glad to be back. I know my wife's excited to be back in her class. Lesson number 20, as we study Revelation. Lesson number 20, the answer to the question. And we are on Revelation chapter 7. If you need lesson number 20, raise your hand, please. Anyone needing lesson 20? All right. We are again, studying the Revelation, and we are on section 4, which I've entitled The Awful Judgments of the Book, and that is Revelation chapters 6 through 11, dealing really primarily with the tribulation and many of the things that we are very interested in as we think about the tribulation. And so lesson 20 is the answer to the question. The question coming at the end of chapter 6, verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? And so chapter 7 seems to give us the answer to that question, and I thought that was a good title for that. Some have called Revelation 7 a pause between the sixth and seventh seal, which it does seem to come between the sixth and seventh seal. Some say it's like a timeout, I guess. And so, well, again, it's speculation as to the exact time and everything, and we've looked at several different things there. So anyway, our memory verse, Revelation 7:14, let's go ahead and say that together, and we'll say the reference, the verse, and the reference, and begin. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:14. And again, Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7:14. We do thank you so much, Father, for your blessings to us. Thank you for this class, this study, and I pray that it's always helpful and relevant to the needs that we have here, and helpful in our growth as Christians. Certainly, we know what our hope is. We know what our promise is. And we look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus comes back. And so I pray that you will draw us to think about that now and to consider the blessing of our salvation and the love of God today. I pray that you'll guide and direct us in this study in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we recognize that he starts out chapter 7 with, "And after these things I saw." And we recognize that it appears that we have a sequence of events taking place, and some would say that that's how it is. Chronologically, everything is taking place in order, but there are many others that would say that John was shown these things in answer to the question. And that it goes back, actually, to the start of the opening of the seals, or before the seals were opened. There's argument both ways, and some would say that chapter 7 actually runs parallel with those six seals. It's taking place at the same time, or I'm sorry, it took place as far as the servants being sealed so that different things would not happen to them. Now, again, the one thing we know for sure, and I want to say this as in the introduction, I know I've already covered some of this. One thing that we know for sure is this: sealing the seal, S-E-A-L, the seal of God is protecting the people, the servants of God, from the wrath of God. And we know that we're protected. We're going to be called out. We're taken out. People that get saved during the tribulation, obviously, they are going to be saved, and they're going to be living until persecution, until they die from persecution. But my understanding and the way I came to think this is that the things that are the wrath of God, the actual judgment of God, as God's wrath is poured out, as we've already seen with the sixth seal, the earthquake and the stars or whatever is falling from the sky, what appears to be God dealing with some things here, these servants are protected from those things. Now, we'll get into that a little bit more. Again, though, the answer, I think, to the question is really the most important thing in chapter 7. God, who shall be able to stand? Who can stand? All right? God's wrath is coming. Who can stand? The truth of the matter is, nobody deserves to stand. We all deserve punishment. We all deserve the judgment of God. We all deserve the wrath of God. Everybody does. Everybody sinned against God, all of us. And so, in reality, we recognize, and it's too bad the whole world doesn't recognize, that we deserve punishment for sin. There has to be punishment. We deserve it. And that's when they would recognize the marvelous grace of God. That he sent his son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Who shall be able to stand? Well, only those who are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only ones who can stand. That's the only ones who will not face the wrath of God. Now, do we have tribulation? You better believe it. We all do. Everybody in this room's had tribulation. Is you get saved and it's just a fun party the rest of your life? No, it's not. We know that. We have all kinds of problems. We have trials and tribulations just like anybody else. But not one of us will face the wrath of God. Does he chasten us? Sure he does. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he chastens us and deals with but he does that as a father that loves his child. Does that to the child, to teach them, to disciple them, to discipline them so that they go the right way. And so we're not facing the wrath of God over our sins. That took place on Calvary when Jesus took my sin upon him and died on the cross. And so, again, the answer is very, very clear in chapter 7. Really, the whole passage, there is only one way to stand through the wrath of God, and that is to be saved. That is to have that seal, the name of God, written, and to be a Christian. And so the answer and we see in chapter 7, and then, of course, to show who those who were slain in the fifth seal, which we talked about several weeks ago, back in chapter 6, verse 9, when he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And again, we're going to see, who are these people? Well, they're saved people, praise the Lord. Now, we come to number 1, Roman number 1, the seal of the Savior. It says, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Hurt, notice that, hurting the earth and the sea. That the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, to, obviously, according to verse 2, to hurt the earth and the sea. And so this seal is very, very important. Now again, when did all this take place? And you know, were these servants, were they sealed before the first seal? And you know, you're gonna have a hard time proving. There's arguments both ways, there's arguments all kinds of ways. Or did it happen right here, right after this sixth seal was opened? Did it happen like, and after these things I saw? Again, when did God show John this vision that obviously is taking place here on the earth? You'll notice as we study Revelation, John will be in heaven and he'll see things God shows him in heaven. He'll see things God shows him on the earth. And so again, we are looking at it from that standpoint. And so time is one of those things that you're going to be able to argue both ways, and I'm not gonna, you know, I wouldn't get into that, but the interesting thing here is we first of all we have the four corners of the earth that is kind of interesting. Notice Isaiah 40 and verse 22, Isaiah 40 and verse 22. And here's a good verse for scientists. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Boy, some of those early explorers, it would have helped them out if they had known that the earth was a circle. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And now we have here, if the earth is a circle, what do we have here as far as these four corners? And it is a common language of that day and a common language even today to describe everywhere, north, south, east, west, as four corners or four directions. And so we have the idea of every part of the earth. All right, again, you know, you look at a sphere of the earth, how can this be happening? We recognize, and you certainly, as you're when you're looking over the Gulf of Mexico or a large body of water, the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, you're thinking about, well, you watch that sunset, and it looks like literally it's dipping into the, well, the truth of the matter is, as the sun is setting here, it's rising somewhere else. And so the way that it is described of an event taking place everywhere is, it's described as the four corners of the earth or four directions. In other words, everywhere on the face of the earth is being talked about here. And so, again, it's important that we see these four angels are on the four corners and they're holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. In other words, they're being held back from worldwide judgment. All right, it's being restrained from worldwide judgment. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Again, we're understanding the seal being put on the servants of God, the saved servants of God, that is going to protect them from these winds blowing that are going to be worldwide, a worldwide judgment of God. Again, common language being used to make us understand this is worldwide, all right? And now they are being restrained from what? Verse 3, hurt not the earth, okay? Verse 2 says, he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees. So again, does this go back to the the beginning of the tribulation, you know, as people are getting saved and 144,000 are getting saved? You know, does it go back to then? Again, possibly. You can't say that it doesn't. Obviously, I kind of lean that way because I just kind of think that's what it refers to. But I wouldn't argue for that. So, hurt. Why are these angels going to hurt anything? Well, obviously, if the earth is hurt, it's going to hurt the people. There's going to be judgment. Obviously, as forests are destroyed, homes are destroyed. As seas are wiped out, people are going to die. As the judgment of God is going to take place. It is God's wrath. But again, I want you to me, the emphasis needs to be on God's people are protected from God's wrath. God's people are not going to face the wrath of God. In fact, you have the idea here, wait, stop, no blowing of the winds, no hurting of the earth until my people are sealed, until my people are protected. Again, we're taken out. Praise God. But God's people are protected. I want you to realize the importance to God of protecting His people from His wrath. What's at stake? His word. His word's at stake. That's what's at stake. You are never going to face the wrath of God for your sin because Jesus took that wrath when He died on the cross. Now, and to me, That is the ultimate truth here of chapter 7, that there is going to be a lot of hurt dealt out to the earth, but not until we are sure God's people are safe. And so this seal is important, not until the seal is put on. And so the seal of the Savior, I saw another angel ascending, verse 2, from the east, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. And so the seal of the Savior. What is this seal? Well, it's a protection of God. And we'll talk about it here in these next couple of points. But it's a seal is authority. A sealing, when you look at seals, you have seals, and literally there would be like a glob of wax, and I'm not talking about a glob, that's a bad term, but the king would take his ring and he would put his seal on that wax, however that was, and he would that would seal something, and that means the king has sealed this. Now, whatever it is, it could be the seal of the tomb. It could be the seal of a prison. It could be the seal that has taken place. It meant this is with the authority of the king. Okay, so a seal means authority. Obviously this seal is the seal of the living God. That's the ultimate authority. Amen. Now, go back to Genesis 4, verse 15. Not the first time this has been seen as far as God using a seal. Genesis 4 and verse 15. The Bible says, the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Now, we know what Cain did. Cain killed Abel. And, what a terrible thing. But now, God says, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. Well, how does everybody know that? Well, here's how everybody knows that. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And so somehow there was a mark on Cain, and we'd have to at least consider the idea of it being on his forehead. And God put a mark on him, and that mark would let everybody know. Now, I don't know what the mark was, and there's all kinds of speculation on that. But somehow people knew, okay, I'm not to do anything to this man. This man is going to be protected. Why? Because there was a seal on him. Look at Genesis 19 and verse 22. Genesis 19, 22. And again, we have Lot and his daughters escaping Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Genesis 19, 22, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Cannot do, what do you mean cannot do anything? He wouldn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot was out of the way. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. And again, we have God protecting his people. Okay, Lot, you can get out. You can escape. And I'm not going to do anything until you are in the clear. That's kind of the idea that we're getting here with the scripture and the event taking place here, that, okay, there is going to be mass destruction on the earth, but not until God's seal is on the servants of God. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19, just kind of real quick here. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. Second Timothy 2:19, and I think I mentioned my Bible is pretty new, and so some of these pages turn kind of hard. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And again, there is a seal in the Lord. Again, it's identification with those who are His. There's a seal. Now, you know, again, we shouldn't be shocked about that. It's amazing how we emphasize the 666. You hear about it all the time. The more I get out, and I don't really, my wife does all the shopping, but I went shopping with her, and we went to a self-checkout thing, probably my third time in life, and it just amazes me, just really, I know you do it all the time, but just how fast, how quick that is. And I think one of these days that computer chip in our hand or on our forehead, or, you know, it's just going to identify everything, and we're going to love it. You know, we are, because it's going to be so simple. I mean, now we pull out a card or we pull out cash. And anyway, it just amazes me. But, you know, this idea of identification, this idea of a seal, this idea of people being able to recognize, okay, this is somebody who is saved. You know, it's sad that God would, that people, we'd have to have a seal in our head. I got thinking about that a little bit. And when you get away and it's quiet, you do a lot of thinking. And I got to thinking, you know how sad that is. Because people should be able to tell we're Christians by how we act. Again, I'm not bemoaning the fact that this seal is going to be there, but it's a shame that we have to have the seal would ever have to take place. It should be very obvious, but I just thought I'd throw that out. But no doubt here, no doubt God's people are protected. God is going to unleash His wrath. It is going to be unbelievable. He is going to unleash that on all the earth. The trumpet judgments, as we get to it, the earth, the sea, the trees, all of that. The sixth seal, again, is that. And there could be great, great, great argument that is man destroying man. You know, we talked about, could that be a description of a nuclear attack of some kind? All of that could be. I'm not dismissing that idea, all right? From verse 12, the sixth seal, the whole sixth seal could all be nuclear, could be the result of men. I'm not going to get into all that. Because again, could be. But the point is, man who is saved will not face the wrath of God. That is such a precious, precious truth that that man, these Christians, are being protected from the wrath of God. They're protected from that. Chapter 9, verse 3, real quick. Chapter 9 and the third verse. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And, you know, you just, again, you have this idea, the wrath of God is unbelievable. There's nothing worse, I would think, than the wrath of God. So the seal of the Savior. Number two, the servants who are sealed. In verse 3, again, the emphasis saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Until they are, it is identifying them. Seals mark authority, but they also mark our possessions. You might put a name tag on something. Your kids, they come to school. You put their name, write their name. You might write their name on everything, you know. Write their name on clothes, jackets, hats, shoes. You might, you know, because why? Because you want to mark their possessions. And look at Ephesians 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1 and verse 13 is another good verse. Again, thinking about being sealed. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. I need our ushers to come if they would. And we will receive our offering. You can just go ahead and do that, fellas. Appreciate that. Ephesians 1 verse 13. And whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We are His. We are sealed. You get into Ephesians 1 there and we talk about the Holy Spirit being the earnest, the down payment. I like to use the terminology, the engagement ring. What's an engagement ring? Well, it means I'm promised. I belong to another. And that seal, it identifies us as being His. We are sealed. And so I think it's interesting as you think about these servants who are sealed. Verse 3 saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. The forehead, you know, again, you start thinking about that. Well, everybody can see that. Everybody can see that. Obviously, the unsaved can see it, but the saved, possibly, you know, again, we have the idea they can see it. Now, I know books have been written and fiction books about it, and nobody knows, and you have to have a special light and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, but the point is, it's on the forehead. And but have you ever thought about this? You can't see it. They're sealed on their foreheads, but you can't see it. If you had something written on, try to see your forehead. Go ahead. Okay, for some of you, you have the inconvenience of hair. Others of us don't have to worry about that, but you can't see. Now, if it's on your right hand, you could look at it all the time. But it's on your forehead, and you can't see it. But here's the thing. We aren't saved by sight. We're saved by faith, and we're sealed by faith as well. How do you know you're saved? I know I'm saved. You know, well, you know, don't I have to look in the mirror every now and then to remind me? No. If you every time you look in the mirror, it ought to make you think, I ought to be lost. This mirror right here should always remind you of what you really are. You know, the mirror that we'll look into tonight as we observe the Lord's Supper together, again, it should remind us what He did for us. What we deserved, and then what He did so that we wouldn't get what we deserve. But we know we're saved, how? By faith. I know I'm saved by faith. I've trusted Jesus Christ. I believe him, and I know I'm saved. And so I don't have to see it. I don't have to look up. I don't have to see that I'm his child. I don't have to pull out my birth certificate over and over and over again. No. Here's how I know I'm saved. I know because I did what he said, and I believe him, and I trust him. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. And the servants who are sealed, they're sealed in the forehead. By the way, the forehead where we wear the helmet of salvation. Again, it's that forehead, that head, that helmet of salvation where we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Again, we all go through tough times, and many people going through those tough times, they kind of wonder about their salvation. I counsel people about it all the time. Personally, I've never wondered that because of bad times, but many people do, and isn't it wonderful to go back to the Word of God and to say, "I know ye may know that ye have eternal life. Ye may know, you can know, totally by faith." Whether I'm going through bad times or not, during the tribulation, you talk about going through bad times. You talk about. I'm talking about people getting saved and having their little Sunday school class out in the woods somewhere and then lining up to have your head chopped off. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a terrible, terrible time of tribulation. But these servants, now somebody said, well, these servants, you know, they couldn't have, we know that they do die. They just don't die because of the wrath of God. I don't know what all that means. I certainly can speculate in my mind that they are protected from the earthquakes. They're protected from the fires, the hail, and all of that. That is my understanding of the Scripture. But certainly they are persecuted. We know the two witnesses are actually bodily protected for a season until the season's up, and then they're killed. And so this sealing is again, it is a beautiful, wonderful picture of what we are as Christians when we get saved, and just a wonderful picture of our salvation. Look at capital A. Do I have time? What time is it? Oh, their priority. Servants of our God. They are servants. Okay, again, compare the seal in their forehead with the 666. Again, the emphasis is always on the 666. We're kind of, you know, we kind of get intrigued with that 666 thing, but these have a seal in their forehead. These 144,000, these saved Jews, these preachers. Go to chapter 14 and verse 1, and we'll get another glimpse, and obviously we'll deal with it then. But I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters." And we have this idea that these 144,000 are virgin men, saved, obviously, men, preachers to preach the gospel, giving out the gospel, saved from the wrath of God. Part of, it would appear, the fifth seal, the persecution. There are Christians that die, at least their converts were part of that, and because people do die under the fifth seal, because there's great persecution of God's people. And now, you know, the whole idea, and I got to stop here, but I'll give you some verses to look up, and we'll cover next week. Isaiah 66:19-21, Matthew 24:14, and then Romans 11:26, again dealing with the priority, these servants. There is a great evangelistic meeting going on during the tribulation. There is, the gospel is going forth in a very powerful way, and it is going forth, and people are getting saved. Thousands and thousands of people are getting saved. 144,000 get saved, and they're preaching. And so again, there will be multitudes of people trusting Christ as their Savior during that time. But just keep in mind these 144,000 very clearly, and again, I think somewhere toward the beginning of the tribulation, they are sealed so that they are safe from the wrath of God and any wrath taking place. So again, that is the whole purpose of it. So who shall be able to stand? Saved people. Saved people. That's all. Because we will never face the wrath of God for our sins.